So for members of the legal committee, we have Theo.
He's dialing in right now, Margaret.
Okay. We have Ryan, I just heard you. Art is sharing his screen. Ronnie, I see you. I'm obviously on, and Tom is on. We just need to wait for Theo, I think.
No, nope, I'm here.
There we go. Great. So everybody's in attendance. We do have some members of the public. We have 12 participants, so obviously we have members of the public. So the purpose of this meeting, and I did send an email to all of you around this, as you are aware, when we, in 2016, the local law was enacted in 2016, effective 2017, we reorganized the wards in Hudson to make them comparable in population based upon the previous census, which was the 2010 census. And in our local law, which unfortunately, Art, I didn't send you the local law, but in our local law, we indicated that the language of the law says the wards shall have substantially equal populations as determined by the United States Census Bureau and New York State law, such that such populations are in conformance with applicable federal and New York State law. If after any decennial federal census, the population of the wards is not in compliance with the law, the Common Council, by no later than July 1 of each year ending in 2022, shall reapportion the wards and change the boundaries in accordance to cause their respective populations to be in conformance with the law. So I have been researching this, and Steve, we're going to go to you on your analyses in a moment. There is a state law was put in place in last year in October, an update to the law relating to districting at the county level. Essentially, these laws state that where practicable, districts need to be within 5% of the ideal, which is the average number of populations. So we currently have around 5,700 people in Hudson. Can't get my spreadsheet here. The average is 1171.4 based on the most recent census. At the moment, in the existing scenario, the first ward is a little bit more than 5% above that number. We're at 1233. And the fourth ward at 1088 is 7% below the ideal number. So this has triggered a requirement that we look into reallocating a small number of people around the wards to ensure that we continue to have each ward within 5% of that ideal number. Steve Dunn, who has graciously agreed to join us tonight and present his analyses, was one of the developers, but a lot of the analyses that went into what occurred in 2016 were derived from work that Steve did in looking at populations in various areas within Hudson. And from that, the fair and equal wards were established. Based on the most recent decennial census, Steve has done three specific analyses. And the goal tonight is to have Steve present the analyses that he has done, explain to us how these analyses work. This is an informational session. Our goal is to understand how these analyses work. We are not going to weigh in on whether we prefer A, B, or C, because potentially we'll end up with D. Depending on what the lawyers come back with, it is conceivable that we may not have to reallocate. Crystal is looking into that. I've also reached out to NICOM on this issue. So those are things that we can put off for our next meeting, which is next week. But tonight, what I want us to accomplish is to really understand what goes into the analyses. So Steve has three different scenarios that he developed, one of which accomplishes the goal of bringing things in line by effecting the least change, which means that the fewest number of people within the various wards would be reallocated. That's what ARC is showing right now. Another is least deviation, which makes the wards as close as possible to the ideal, which is 1171. And then there is a third scenario, which is uniting the terraces. So back in 2016, when the wards were established, a straight line was drawn down Warren Street. And the effect of that was that, Art, if you want to put the Terraces United grid up again, if you look at the sort of middle of your screen where in Ward 2, the purple line that extends into that sort of pinkish salmon-y color, those are the apartments in the terraces that are currently in the first ward because they're on the south side of Warren Street. But in this scenario, the terraces would be united. So, yeah, exactly. Oh, you're so much more savvy than I am. So that's a scenario that Steve has put together because when the wards were set up in 2016, this was a question that was on the table. Was it preferable or not preferable to keep the terraces together, even though some of them fell on the south side of Warren Street and some were on the north side? So with that said, and I do want to say to the public, we welcome questions tonight about the analyses, about how we're approaching this. We will take notes. I would prefer not to try to respond off the top of the head on questions you may have. I'd rather take your questions back and look at the data and provide you with responses related to those questions. And then to the members of the committee, again, tonight, ask whatever questions of Steve that you need to ask to understand the analyses. But let's kind of leave the discussion of what the best scenario is to our next meeting, because it's conceivable that we will have, there'll be a fourth or a fifth scenario that we want to look at. So any questions from the members of the committee right now?
None. I just want to thank Steve for doing the heavy lift on all of this in advance. It's appreciated.
Yes, very much so. So Steve, we're going to hand this over.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure, and it's a lot easier and more fun this time because of technology. So we can all gerrymander each and every one of us. So we're all empowered.
Margaret, Theo does have his hand up.
Yep. Go ahead.
Hey, nice to meet you, Steve.
Hi, Theo.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for putting this together. This is really cool to look at. I'm just wondering if there's any demographic data attached or any demographic analysis attached to any of these maps beyond just the pure numbers assignment. In particular, is there any sort of like racial analysis on, you know, looking at would this impact different demographics and different members of our community?
You muted yourself, Theo.
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
But just for funsies, I did do a lot of clicking around these actual ward maps prior to the meeting, and it does in fact pull the demographic data as well as what would be changed between each one. So I think you can look at those live things in the document, one of the documents that Margaret sent around.
Okay. Yeah. I was clicking around. I was just and again, just not advocating for any one over the other, but I'm just wondering if we can sort of bring to the fore in all of these discussions. I just was sort of doing surface level research, and there's something called racially polarized voting analyses, which I think would be really great to incorporate into our outlook with this, just to make sure that, like, you know, I understand that we're just trying to do this in the most equitable way in line with our charter, but we just really want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that doesn't, you know, accidentally disadvantage any members of our community. So I'd love to sort of see that going forward when this is put to the committee. So
Theo, to your point, And I want to come back to the very narrow goal of this evening. This is an instructional meeting where Steve is going to show us how he uses this application and how he does his analyses. He has provided us with links so that we can ourselves do further analyses. Again, we are not presenting this evening three scenarios, one of which we have to choose. This is really a, it's a lunch and learn type meeting on how to look at the application that Steve has used and how he produced the scenarios he produced. So yeah. I think that the question you're raising is very important, and I think that we need to discuss it, and I think that we, the appropriate forum for that is probably our next meeting, which is, I believe, on next Tuesday.
Sure, yeah, and I understand that that's the scope of this meeting, and I'm not, you know, trying to debate one side or the other here at all. I'm just saying I would love, as a part of this presentation and as all presentations going forward, you know, to make sure that we really bring that in, because I think, as Steve, you know, really clearly outlined in his own essay, when people see redistricting, there's a lot of, it's a very politically divisive issue. And so I just think that for the public as well, we want to be as transparent as possible about what our metrics are and what our decisions are. You know, this is something that's really dear, you know, to me, that I spent a lot of time thinking about, and, you know, I did spend a lot of time clicking around. And so I just want to make sure that we're always talking about these in the historical context of these maps as well. So that's not to say, that's just more of like a top line thing on top of our whiteboard, that whatever we say, that we're always kind of having a historical context to these maps as well. So that's all I'm trying to say.
So, but for now, I would really like us to understand the methodology and the data. And when we come back to discuss this next Tuesday, having understood the methodology and data, then we can bring other issues into the discussion. But for now, this is a technical session. Okay, so Steve, I'm going to hand this over to you to present your scenarios and how you arrived at them.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I would like to say hi to Theo. And Theo, maybe you haven't had a chance yet. Have you all had a chance to actually get into the utility and open the maps in the utility? Called today's redistricting application. If you click in there, you can then pull up these maps yourself, and I can show you how to do it later. And you can export them into your own computer and then re-import them and then make any changes you want. You can move census blocks around as you wish, and it'll track for you, as you see in the upper left-hand corner, the populations of the five wards. And each census block also has ethnic data. It's divided by race, and Asians, Hispanics, the usual different groups. And so you can see instantly what the demographic data is. And you can actually go back to the 2010 census data and see how stuff has changed. So there's a wealth of data. However, since the last census, there's an issue of privacy, and they fudged the data. So that ethnic breakdown by block has been fudged. So it's not precisely accurate. And nobody knows, because it is to protect privacy. Interestingly, when you click on the census blocks, when you get into the utility, you can see an outline there. You see there at the end of Warren and Worth Avenue there, you see that little outline? That's a census block outline. And you can see the little jog there in the fourth ward, the little census block outline. That's where there's been a move of a block from the third ward into the fourth ward. So each of those census blocks, you'll see when you click on the entire ward, and you'll see in some, instead of a rectangle, that one of the lines is diagonal. And I was curious what that is. And what that is, that's prisoners that have been allocated to that census block from whatever prison they were in. And this data, one reason population is lower than the census amount at 5857 is that is the prisoner adjusted population. And so the prisoner population in the prison is moved out of the first ward, and then a few people, their prior residence to the prison was in some other location in Hudson, and so population is reallocated throughout the city a little bit. Some of it obviously is reallocated outside the city. So, and we're all equally empowered to make maps of our own. We're equally empowered as to the data, which again has been fudged deliberately by the Census Bureau, as to the ethnic breakdowns. But a least change map, by definition, or even more so a less deviation map, there hasn't been much change in the ward. So whatever the demographic change is, it's minor, because not much has moved from the existing, by definition. That is less true with the uniting of the Hudson Terrace apartments, obviously, that, and you can check it yourself, and I will, I'm sure you'll see that increases the white population of the first ward, and as to the second ward, it increases the population by persons of color. So in that sense, it's kind of, from an ethnic standpoint, you know, it's a ethnic and somewhat class division that's being re-emphasized more. So that's an option. There was a fan base for it 5 years ago, and that's what's shown. Of course, without a legal requirement for redistricting, a least change map would be no change. And it's not quite as simple as just looking at the population, because the existing ward map, well, as of 6 years ago, it divided two census blocks. The Hudson Terrace Apartments was one census block at that time, so there had to be an allocation of the population of that census block between the first and second wards. In 2020, they did create a separate divided census block, so there's no longer an estimate issue. However, the other census block that was split is the one there along Harry Howard Avenue, because there's a extrapolation line that theoretically runs from the end of Fifth Street until it intersects again at Harry Howard Avenue, just short of the trade winds apartment.
Crosswinds,
thank you. So, and there's a image that Margaret has that actually shows that census block being split in the 75 people and so on and so forth. So it's theoretically possible, if there had been a substantial change in the population in the fourth ward there along Harry Howard Avenue, that the map would be legal without any change, but that's almost certainly not the case. So,
Steve, in this least change scenario, we would be moving.
I was going to get to that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Never mind.
You want to move me along. That's fine. And that 10% requirement is federal law. It's a Supreme Court case. So the state of New York has no authority to override that 10% rule. It, I believe, has adopted it in its own statutory legislation as well, but it can't deviate from that. So Steve, I don't know.
Steve, I have a question about that. So I didn't research federal law on this, but I did research state law, and what I was finding was not so much a 10% swing question so much as that no district should be more than 5% off from the ideal. So yes, when you do min-max on that, you're going to end up with 10%. But you could have you could meet the 10% requirement and still have a district that was, say, 9% over the ideal and a district that was 1% below, and you'd still be within 10% of the min-max. So can you send me the federal law via referencing? Because I've been trying to find the 10% rule, and what I've been coming up with is the 5% rule, which is that every district has to be within 5% of ideal.
Okay. If one district is 5% over and another is 5% under, that equals the 10%, right?
Correct. But what I came up with was you could meet the 10% requirement and have a district that was 9% over, one that was 1% under.
Right. Let me speculate.
Go ahead.
It may be. I know what the Supreme Court has ruled, and I know how their formula works.
Okay.
The state, in its wisdom or unwisdom, has adopted their own statute.
Right.
And maybe my T branch said they're just reiterating what the Supreme Court has said. But maybe they made it even more restrictive. You can't have, if you've got one ward that's 6% off,
yes,
and another ward is 2% on the other side, even though that's less than 10%. One ward is at over 5%, you've hit kryptonite, you die, and it's illegal. That may be a state law. I don't know.
Yes, I looked up the state law.
Okay. You're not just another pretty face, Margaret.
Not even a pretty face.
All right, that's good. But that makes it even more restrictive.
Exactly.
So if it was illegal under federal law, it may be ipso facto, or then it's still illegal under state law. It may be there's a federal case that's legal but illegal under state law. So it basically is moot for these matters, for the three of them. I think that's right. Should check. Is there any board that's more than 5% off? Okay.
Well, yeah. So, Steve, when I was looking at your data, thank you for sending that spreadsheet. But I, you know, did my own. I took your numbers from each map and I put my little spreadsheet together. And when I was trying to research this 10% versus nobody can be more than 5% situation, the numbers that I came up with on the terraces United scenario left the fourth ward more than 5% off. All of the other wards were within 5%. So within the state scenario, the terraces United, right? It's still
if that's the case, you're absolutely.
It meets the 10% rule, but it doesn't meet the 5% rule.
Okay, very good. So, and there may be a way, if you really want to unite the terrace apartments, you can still work with it by moving another census block someplace. You play the game. And I'll make that calculation myself. I hadn't done it by wards. How much, the total deviation is 7.17%. So you thought, what was the deviation the other?
What I did, Art, if you could pull up the terraces map. So what I did, Steve, was I took your population in this terraces map, the numbers on the left-hand side there, and I plugged them in, and I did a raw deviation from 11.1171, and then I did a percent deviation. And in that particular scenario, because the fourth ward didn't change, it was 1088 in this scenario, which, am I looking at? Okay, I think there may be an issue with the, I'm not sure that the data I pulled in was, never mind.
It probably isn't productive for me to
do it
right now.
Yeah,
but it either is or it isn't.
Yeah, right.
And now where are you? How do I pulled up this thing. Oh, there you are. Okay. So, in any event, that's the least change. And then I said, what can we do to reduce the deviation even further? And in that map, we've just moved one more census block from the third board to the fourth board, which is that census block between Fifth and Sixth Street and State and the alley on State on that side. What is that? Long Alley? And then that reduces the deviation further down. So it gets down to least change, the deviation was 8.11%, and less deviation got it down to 5.04%.
Yep.
So, and there may be a way to even get it lower than that by messing with the map more. But there's, you know, when you make a change, there may be good reasons for it, but it is somewhat disruptive because people are now in a different ward, and it can inconvenience incumbents potentially, particularly if they live and must be moved. And it inconveniences the elections board because they got to move voters from one election district to another election district. None of that is dispositive, but all things being equal, not making change is probably desirable. But things are never equal. And for some people, having less deviation is a matter of fairness and equality, and that's for each of you and the public to decide for themselves. And then for Hudson Terrace Apartments, the way I drew it, be it legal or illegal, the deviation was 7.17%. So still lower than the 8.11 for the least change map. And far below the illegal 12% plus deviation we have now. Those are the options. So, does anybody have any questions? Have I confused everybody?
Ryan has his hand up.
Yeah, Steve, I'm just curious. I mean, and this is not anything I'm suggesting, but the original ward drawing lines, I'm just curious, with the natural way that the population fell, did you look at all pre-2016 to see how the population fell in those wards? I'm just curious.
Well, I know how the population changed because my committee drew the map that was enacted into law, so we knew the populations from the 2010 census. And so with this utility, you can see it yourself. But yeah, I know exactly how everything.
But I'm saying, even before that, though, is there any sort of, I'm just curious if there's any regression toward what the old boundaries would have been based on the population changes?
So, Ryan, I think it might be helpful.
I'm not sure I precisely understand your question. That's my own failing, but maybe you can rephrase it.
Oh, that's okay. Margaret, go ahead.
Art, can you pull up the link I gave you to the local law?
Is this the... Yes.
Yeah. And scroll down, there's a table. There's a table that provides...
Thank you, Margaret. This is what I wanted. Exactly.
So in this scenario, and this is what it was back in 2016, and the first ward at that time...
This is all 2010.
Exactly. Same. This was what it was.
And these are the populations in each census block pursuant to the 2010 census.
Exactly.
And you can lift this data yourself on that utility by clicking the box for the 2010 census data rather than the prisoner adjusted 2020 census data. So you can see each census block how it's changed.
So,
again, the census block is fudged stuff. So I am not as confident, absolutely, that each census block is perfectly accurate. But there's nothing that can be done about that.
Art, can you scroll down to the total for the fourth ward back then? So the fourth ward at that time was 1275. And the fifth ward was 1267. So at the time that we did this, to your question, Ryan, it was very equally distributed in terms of population. That was by design. Right, right, Steve?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was all very close. So we have we've had a decline in population overall. First ward was 1279. It's now 1233. Second ward has lost the most. They were 1291. They're now 1190. Third ward was 1291 in the old scenario. It's now 1188. Fourth ward, and that's the one where, if you look at existing and deviation from ideal, the fourth ward is minus 7%, right, Steve, from ideal. They were originally 1275 when we did this in 2016. They're now at 1088. So, I mean, you'd have to readjust this based on the fact that there's been an overall decline in population. But the fourth ward went from 1275 to 1088. Fifth was 1267. It's now 1158. So, I mean, we could calibrate that and see what the percent change was in each ward.
Certainly
the fourth ward is the one I think that has probably seen the greatest decline in population, when you normalize it. Is that the question you were asking?
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah. And I think
the population of the existing fourth ward is 1163. The most
What do you have for the existing fourth, Steve?
1163. The fifth ward is the underpopulated one. It's at 1083. Remember, with this utility, I had to give that split census block all to the fifth ward. And then, so I had to then pull out those 75 people.
Oh, I see. That's where I'm missing
the ironically, the Fair and Equal campaign was about taking the fifth ward, which was 40% of the population of the city, down to 25%. And now it's the most underpopulated ward. Right. But with the depot project coming, it will probably in due course become by far the most populated again. So, you know, things change.
Just for my own personal clarity, Steve, am I supposed to be looking at where the actual blocks are here, these lines, or is it the colors, which is superseding what?
The colors are the wards.
The colors are the new wards. All right. So we're basically slicing off part of Warren Street here. We're slicing off part of Warren Street here. Warren and Union. I'm guessing that would probably be the north side of Union.
That map you're looking at moves that one census block there on Warren Street, where it intersects with Worth Avenue. And then there's two census blocks. This is the least deviation map that move there from the fourth ward to the third ward. And that's that little bit. Those are two census blocks.
Okay.
And in that map, nothing else changes except that split census block there on Harry Howard Avenue is moved all to the fifth ward instead of it being split between the fourth ward and the fifth ward. You see there that yellow block? You see?
Yeah.
So the Harry Howard bit there, that's to the west of Fifth Street, is currently in the fourth ward. And Margaret has a graphic where I drew a dotted line. So that more graphically.
Steve, you sent us an email, which I forwarded to everyone, and Art, it is the email that contains, it has a document. Let me pull it up here. I wish I could share my documents. It is an Excel file called Ward Deviation Calculations that Steve sent to us. Do you have that?
I see a screenshot of something. Give me one second.
It was actually an Excel file.
When did you send it, Margaret? Was it?
It was something that Steve gave us a couple of days ago that I sent out to everyone. I'm going to try sharing again. I don't know why I can't share. Let me try this again.
Hey, Dan, can you help me here?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. Steve, you had sent us.
If you want to email it to me, I can just share it.
Margaret, I've got it. All right, if you want me to pull it up.
Have you got it?
I'll stop it.
Okay.
And then,
pretty sure it's on the legal committee's site if you want to download it there.
But... Okay. Yeah. So yes, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Steve. I had taken this document that you sent to us with your calculations. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had, when I was doing my own calculations, I took what you put in as existing Hudson Ward map. And I took the, I took the numbers that you were reflecting in each of the wards as being the population in each of the wards right now. Is that true or false?
The inferences you drew from that chart are absolutely rational and appropriate. However, that chart is flawed.
Oh, okay.
So that top chart, pretend it doesn't exist.
Okay, fair enough.
And then move down to the next one. And that, nope, that...
Keep going.
There you go, right there. And there you see those little 75 numbers. Mm-hmm. What I did is I moved 75 people out of the fifth ward into the fourth ward because
I see
the utility. I can't split census blocks in that.
I see.
So what I did, I had to either put that census block in the fifth ward or the fourth ward. I couldn't.
This
split.
This is where the 1083
1160. That's right. So okay. Nothing is simple in this world okay. anymore.
All right.
I don't mean
to disagree. Yeah. So what I was saying earlier is thank you very much for that. I was working from the first chart, so this makes sense to me now. So now I see, because I had seen an earlier documentation that you presented to us that the fifth ward was the one with the least.
And this and then I play to say is it.
Yeah.
What is it theoretically possible we're within the 10%? And that involved fiddling around with what the split is in the numbers in the census block. And I found there is a theoretical possibility if that split instead of 75, which it was in the 2010 census, was between 28 and 42, that the existing map would be legal. And that's almost certainly not the case. So that's all that does.
Okay.
What I will do, I'll send you.
Okay.
I will send you to forward on a new spreadsheet, which has all these deviations on these three scenarios. So there's not confusion. And actually, the Hudson Terrace map, that is legal. I played with it. It is tough. But anyway, but you all can see that and then do with it what you will.
So Steve, you did.
At the end of the day, the only thing you need to care about is playing with this utility and looking at the ward populations. Forget about the adjustments. Just look at the ward population. And then see if there's one that's off by more than 5%, assuming that's the state law. If there's one that's off by more than 5%, you know that map is not legal under state law. It's that simple.
So, Steve, I had sent to you, Tracy did the analysis on the prison population that you had mentioned.
Yes, she did. But what she did is she used the housing stock, the number of housing units on each side of the dividing line in that census block that she used before.
Okay.
So, and since the division is driven by that, since the population of that census block dropped from 200 to 193, it changed the numbers on either side of that dividing line by very little. You know, right. 75 dropped to 72. But I know, to my own knowledge, as I'm sure all of you do as well, that that housing stock has been very stable in the fourth ward portion of that split census block. That those that housing there on Harry Howard Avenue up to but not including Crosswinds hasn't changed.
Right.
So we know that population has been pretty stable.
And that's what you predicted when you brought that issue up, and you said it's highly unlikely it would make any difference.
Yeah, so I don't think it's worth dwelling on. But somebody could ask, Tracy, have you verified, or is it possible to verify that the number of housing units is now versus whatever it was from the data you got then, if you really want to work it. As I say, nothing is ever easy, but that's... And there's a little flaw there in the, see that little line in the first ward there next to the river?
Mm-hmm.
That, it won't, that's a census block that if I change it, it actually will move a whole census block there that's in the second ward. But the short answer, there's no people in that census block.
Right.
So don't worry about that. And we know nobody lives in that little blue line there. So that's just a flaw in the software. Also, the software thinks there's only three election districts when there's in fact five. And I don't know why they did that. But they combined the first and second ward, and they combined the fourth and fifth ward. So I don't know why.
Steve, thank you so much for doing this. You have given us... I know you and I have met, and I've gone through this, and I tried to analyze the data myself, obviously in a flawed way. But this has been really, really helpful. And if you could bear with us for a moment, I would like to see if there are any questions from the public about the data. Where again, I want to reiterate: tonight we are not talking about what's a good idea, what's a bad idea. We're just trying to understand the data and the process, and we're still pending some legal opinions on what the state law is. And thank you, Steve, for clarifying the federal law versus the state. The state does appear to be more restrictive, but the state law relates to county districting, not necessarily to city. So
that's yet another overlay.
Yes, exactly.
There's villages. Maybe they're special. Yeah. Maybe they're near the fourth.
No, I reached out to NICOM today, and they looked at the law, and they're looking into it to see if it actually applies. If the state county reference applies to us, that's the 5% rule, or whether we're under the federal law. So from the community, do you have any questions about the data that we're looking at here? I don't see any hands raised. Okay. Coming back to the committee, we're all going to be reconvening on Tuesday. Any more questions for Steve on the process or the analyses?
No, again, just a thank you to Steve for getting this all up.
Yeah, great job, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I hope all your questions were answered. You're going to find playing with this utility is kind of addictive. So I wouldn't.
Addictive, and I don't know if anybody else has had the issue. It's actually tough to load in Chrome. I've had to reboot the browser a few times. It could be my laptop, but
well, you could try Safari or Firefox or something. I don't use Chrome, so but that's too bad because it's very illuminating, and it'll tell you a lot about how it's changed demographically, who's gone up, who's gone down. It's a fascinating exercise, and I will send a more useful spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
And I'm sorry, Margaret, I tortured you with that first chart. Sent you off. And that's my fault, I think, that stuff happens. So,
Margaret, do you have questions? I'm gonna make sure we go around and ask. So, Art, you have a question?
Yeah, just Margaret, because I know you've done a deep dive into this. Can you explain to me, like I'm five, what kind of happens next? So we have these options. Yes. I know that we're gonna pending some legal input.
Okay, so what happens next is I talked to Crystal today, and she is researching exactly what our legal situation is here with regard to whether or not we are required to make changes. That our first thing we have to determine is whether or not we have to make any changes. And I've also reached out to NICOM. They're doing the same thing. They're looking at the state law, which actually doesn't mention towns or cities. It mentions counties. So they're questioning whether or not that applies, which is that 5%, 10% thing that Steve and I were talking about. So we're going to get some legal advice on what we are required to do. In the event, and I think it may be true, that we have to tweak some of our boundaries to come into compliance either with the federal law or with the state law, we will need to come up with a proposal to put forward to the overall council on how we're going to do this. We have until July 1st, if we are required to make changes, to do so. And we can have a discussion next Tuesday. By then, I'm hoping to have legal advice on it. By Tuesday, we will decide, okay, so we have to do something. What's our approach going to be? So tonight was all about data, looking at how things are structured and so forth. Now we need to talk about other issues relating to, so the terrace issue is very much a question of, and Ronnie and I have discussed this, is it preferable to keep the terraces together? Do we need to? And personally, I think if we're going to make a change to how the terraces are structured, we need to speak to the people in the first ward in the terraces and ask them what their opinion is. If we're just tweaking numbers and going with the least change, which is also a very, you want minimum disruption, I think that's a possibility. But those are political discussions that we need to have, and social discussions we need to have, I think, next Tuesday. Tonight was just about data, but we're going to get a legal opinion. We're going to figure out whether we do indeed have to change any boundaries. And then if we have to change boundaries, we're going to talk about how best to do it so that it's equitable and that the concerns and wishes of the constituents are respected. So that's where we are. Theo, do you have any further questions? You're muted right now.
Oh no, I'm just listening. I think it all sounds great. I was looking at my all offline. I think that I actually unfortunately I will be out of town on Tuesday and unfortunately won't be at the meeting. But I'll make sure that I review everything ahead of time and stay up to date and I'm in contact with everyone about what's decided. But I'll offline with you about scheduling stuff. So I was just looking at my schedule, but. Thank you for the presentation.
Ronnie, do you have anything? I don't see Ronnie here. Hang on, where is Ronnie?
I'm here, Margaret. Actually don't have any other questions. Again, thanks to Steve Dunn for putting together the presentation and giving us the tools necessary. So if we wanted to play around with this addictive map and possibly look at how we can make this equitable decision. Obviously, we're not discussing it here today, but again, thanks for all your time.
And Tom, do you have any questions for Steve or anyone else?
No, the analysis is spot on, and I look forward to the next discussion about which scenario will work out best. But thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Great. Thank you all, and see you on Tuesday.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks.